good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. My name is Dave Kabikian.
And good morning. I'm Jay Marie Schaefer.
Jay Marie and I are two of the attorneys from the Herzog Law Firm, and some combo of us, we also have Phil and Kim, of course, are here every single weekend talking to you about estate planning and elder law, wills, trusts, miscellaneous. It's a call-in show, and you can reach us at 518-476-5900. You could also reach us in the office and come to one of our three offices in Kingston, Albany, and Saratoga Springs by calling 518-465-7581. Good morning, Jamery. Good morning, John. What's going on,
hey,
guys?
Good morning. Hey.
Good morning.
How you doing, Jamery?
I'm good.
Let me ask you a question. Do you ever have this fear that you're going to miss the radio because you overslept?
I fear that I'm going to miss the radio because I take the wrong exit. Oh. I almost went on the north way again this morning.
That is the
what,
fear.
You take 787
I take 787 to 7, and I'm so used to going to Saratoga that sometimes I just go that way.
Oh, you turn the wrong way.
On 7, you just keep going to the north way.
Yeah.
Well, we could have, you know. That's all right. We could have done a show just John
every
and I.
Radio guy's fear, by the way.
What's that? Missing?
Missing the show.
Yeah.
It happens. Yeah.
So as soon as I wake up, I look at the clock.
Yeah.
And of course, it's like 4:50. And I'm like, I think I'm safe.
You know, I did mornings for years on radio and TV. The key is once the alarm goes off, get up.
Right. Yeah.
Don't
no matter how rotten you feel.
Yeah.
Make sure you get up.
That's right.
And you're okay.
Well, we made it.
Yeah. You slid in by the seat of your pants, but
normally it's okay. So I like to get grab a coffee, and if I have to wait, and then the traffic lights, and
Oh boy,
or I could just show up 10 minutes early, which is what a normal person would do, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Well, so Jamery, last week Phil was on with me,
yes,
and I did the thing we do together where I completely blindside you with topics,
okay,
that you have no idea what we're going to talk about, and and I told him you loved that. I don't know if you do.
I do love that.
Do you really?
Yes, no. I do.
Because we were joking that you probably don't.
No, it's challenging. It's fun.
Well, so let's see. So, John, you now know what a laughing heir is. We talked about a laughing heir.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, it was great.
Do you know what a laughing heir is?
Yeah, I know what a laughing heir is.
Okay. So, for everyone that, was not listening last weekend, a laughing heir is where a relative that you don't even know, perhaps, stands to inherit money, not because you left them money, but because the state of New York says they are entitled to money because they are a quote-unquote distributee, and lo and behold, they get money, and they're laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah, yeah, that should be a legal term, you know, laughing heir.
Yeah. Well, I got a new one.
Pretty good.
Oh, a new term.
That's called a spin on it, a laughing beneficiary.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So let me explain, if you don't mind, Jamery. So we had a client, a longtime client and an elderly client.
Okay.
She is getting up there in age. She's proud of it. I'm not, you know, insulting her by saying that. Her documents go into the 19s in terms of legal documents. Mm-hmm. The thing about it, she's had a relationship, a trust at our firm for over 24 years. Mm-hmm. So everything is obviously protected, right?
I don't think the 19s were that long ago, but...
Well, 24 years ago.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. I know.
That's how the calendar works, Jamery.
It's not a long time ago.
It doesn't seem like... I mean, the 80s seem like 10 years ago, don't they? Anyway,
yeah, they do.
Well, they have this... not to get off topic, but shall we? We shall. The time from when Back to the Future, the movie, came out to when he goes back in time, that amount of time is like going back to 1997.
That's nothing.
Yeah.
No.
So, like, if Back to the Future was now, and you went back to when, you know,
I remember that like it was yesterday.
Yeah. I was still in high school in 97, Jamery.
Oh, for goodness sake. Okay.
Were you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Graduated in 98.
Huh.
I was engaged, getting ready for my wedding.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. How time flies.
It does.
Okay, so, laughing beneficiary. Back on topic.
Yes.
She came in to go through her documents. Great. And she had a friend of hers helping her. And we went through the pages that say who gets what and said, all right, so she had a couple specific bequests. So A, you know, so-and-so gets $2,000. Said, oh, I don't like that person. Take them out. How about this person? Oh, yeah, no, they haven't called me in 5 years. And the friend said, well, that's that's your, you know, your cousin. She said, well, I don't care. They haven't called me in 5 years. Mm-hmm. So she systematically, you know, she, as she has the right to do, amended her plan to leave money to who she wants.
Right.
And had she not done that, she was going to have beneficiaries that she had nothing to do with that were going to be laughing all the way to the bank. Okay. A laughing beneficiary. What do you think, Jamie?
That's why you need to come in and update.
Right? Boy, that's for sure.
That is exactly why, because that happens a lot. You know, I same thing. I meet with clients and they change their mind on their beneficiaries, or you know, you know, that church isn't even around anymore, right? Or you know, it could be charitable beneficiaries.
Exactly. And you know, you Jamie, your signature has a lot of power. You could decide where all your money goes. You could change your mind about it with your signature.
Right.
You just got to sign somewhere. You just got to come in and amend or do a new will, or as the case may be.
And I can do that even if I have an irrevocable trust. So,
of course,
just because it's irrevocable doesn't mean you can't.
It is fully amendable.
That's right.
Now, I bet you've had a lot of estates where it turns out that the wrong people are getting money. Phil was actually talking about a fact pattern where his client, his sister, sister's brother died. They were very close. And brother didn't have any documents in place. And they had a really bad relationship with dad. And dad's still alive. So everything's going to go to dad.
Right.
I'm sure you've had a lot of situations where a will is just an old will, and it turns out it's going to the wrong people, or the wrong way, maybe.
So that's another reason why we ask you these hard questions. You know, I always say, these are the what-if scenarios, and people, oh, do I have to think about that? What if your beneficiary dies? Who's it going to? Maybe let's even do a second one. What if the backup beneficiary dies?
You know, sure.
Let's be really careful, you know, to make sure it goes to the right person, especially sometimes they come in and like, oh, I hate this person in the family. I don't want them to get any money, right? Which you can do, right?
Absolutely. And I'm sure you've seen this a lot, too. I had one of these where the gentleman who signed yesterday, he had his two grown daughters in, but they're not, they don't have a family yet. They're not married yet. And as we were going through the who gets what, we were talking about fictitious grandchildren that don't exist.
Right.
Because why not? Right.
Right. Why not?
We also plan for, you know, what if one of your beneficiaries is in a nursing home, which is, I think, a really unique paragraph because we're talking about people younger than you, maybe not aging as well as you did. But if you think about it, John, we have this paragraph that says, if my beneficiary is in a nursing home, act as if they're dead for purposes of who gets what. Because we don't want their, weren't leaving money to their nursing home.
Oh, that's true. It would go right to the nursing. That's right.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought of that.
I mean, it's just words on paper, I guess, right?
Yeah, but we're trying to prepare for a whole bunch of contingencies, right?
Yep.
I mean, we want you to come in and review your documents, but we also want to, you know, kind of prepare them so that if you don't, you know,
update it saves money.
It saves money.
They don't
have
to come in and pay. They could just show us pictures of their grandkids without having to amend their documents.
Yeah, that's right.
To reflect that they have grandkids.
I mean, I spent a, well, I did update a will yesterday, but I met these clients who were old clients, and I mean, maybe because my husband's a doctor, but we talked about his medical problems for about half an hour.
Okay.
And then I went home and talked to my husband about it.
Why don't you share with all the listeners here what all the medical problems were? I'm kidding, Jamie. Well, you got it, though. You need to, Jamie Schaefer has to know the whole picture so she can, you know, work. We're juris doctors, right? We have JDs. We're kind of doctors.
We're kind of doctors, right? I pretend to be one.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, Jamie, when people come in and they tell you their fact pattern, you end up prescribing them something, right? Based on what I'm hearing, this is what I prescribe to you.
Right.
One of these two options. A will with these languages, with these words, a trust, or this kind of trust. So, you know, you could wear a white coat in the office if you'd like.
Well, I know enough to know of all certain medical conditions. We better get this in place for you. Right?
Oh, sure.
You have a little bit of that knowledge.
A little bit of that knowledge.
Used to help out, sure.
Right. Have you ever left a consult and called Mike and said, Mike, what does this mean?
No, but I ask him when I get home.
Like, yeah.
Is this really bad? You know, okay.
Sure.
So we do have seminars coming up again, Jamie. We just talked about them yesterday in the office, and I think the one that's coming up the soonest is on Valentine's Day.
Yes.
Okay.
The the favorite Valentine's Day. Let's go talk about Will's.
Yeah, I mean, John, how are you going to spend your Valentine's Day?
Not quite sure yet, but we do have dinner plans. So,
well, I have a suggestion before dinner.
What day? I forgot what day of the week it's on.
It's a Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday.
Okay,
it's
the middle of the week.
It's a little hard to go out.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you're
well,
right.
Well, if you guys have nothing going on before dinner, I suggest you come to our
seminar.
Wills versus Trust seminar.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Yeah.
Very romantic.
It's going to be in Saratoga Springs at the Embassy Suites on, of course, Valentine's Day, which is February 14th, Wednesday.
That Route 50 or is it Route 9, the Embassy Suites? I'm trying to remember.
It's right off of Congress Street, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So well, right
people
there.
Know where it is.
Yeah. 10 a.m., I'll be presenting Wills versus Trusts. At 2 p.m., it'll be none other than the Phil Vacchio presenting same
all
topic.
Right, yeah.
And people are saying there's nothing more romantic than Wills versus Trust.
And you'll be serving little heart-shaped cookies.
Listen, we've had seminars before. Jay Marie,
I gave out candy. I remember giving out heart-shaped chocolates.
I think we might have had roses once upon a time, too.
Yeah.
Well, that you're hallucinating, but no, we definitely had candy.
I remember some, it might have been another attorney that had done it, but I think we've done
roses.
It.
Roses, okay. Yeah. But I remember giving out candy. So.
They're expensive.
Mm-hmm. They are.
Yeah.
So come for a free rose, maybe. We'll see. I don't know if I'm not guaranteeing we're going to have roses.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
But we will have information on wills and trusts. Mm-hmm. And it is actually really, really important. It's during the day. Afterwards, go out to dinner in Saratoga or elsewhere.
Yeah, nice place to be for dinner. That's great.
Yeah.
For the whole afternoon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a hallmark holiday anyway, right, Jay Marie?
It is.
It is indeed, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it's not a big deal to do it on Valentine's Day. But we'd love to see you out there. If you want a seat at one of those seminars, you can call our office at 518-465-7581. You could also email us at info@herzoglaw.com. Again, February 14th, 10 and 2, Wills versus Trust. That's my favorite seminar. I don't know which one yours is, Jay Marie.
I like Aging in Place, but...
You have a... Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So for listeners out there, I actually referred two people this week to go to your webinar that's on our website. So sometime last year, Jane Marie and Kim did a webinar on aging in place, the idea of getting care at home, community Medicaid, the whole thing. And I've directed people who had consults where I think they're going to need home care. Hey, just go to our website, spend 45 minutes with Jane Marie and Kim and learn about 5 hours of knowledge. On how that world works.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And the stuff you have on the website is great, too. We've watched a few.
Oh, that's great.
And, yeah. Yep. Yeah. Learned a lot.
Sometimes people say, I've seen you online. And I say, what does that mean?
Right. I know. People say that to me, too.
I'll see you on the radio.
They recognize me. You know, it's strange. Yeah.
Well, you are a celebrity, Jay Marie.
A mini
Indeed.
Celebrity. Yes.
In fact, when you go off the wrong exit off of Route 7, they say, isn't that...
Right.
Radio personality, Jay Marie Schaefer.
Oh, no, she's going the wrong way.
Yeah, somebody help her.
See, I'm getting closer to needing care, so that's why I like aging in place.
Jay Marie, you're only as old as you think you are.
Okay, that's good.
Anyway, so, okay, seminar 518-465-7581. Laughing errors were good. 2 weeks in a row, laughing beneficiary means... Update your documents, and we'll be right back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate and Medicaid Planning Show right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, Saratoga Springs, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Phil, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us in Albany or Saratoga offices, call 518-465-7581 or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Good morning. We're back. My name is Dave Kabikian.
And my name is Jane Marie Schaefer.
Jay Marie and I have been talking in the first half of the show about an upcoming seminar, as well as the idea of updating your, the foreign idea of updating your really important legal documents when big things are happening or when you just change your mind about beneficiaries. Jay Marie, a topic we haven't talked about in a while, which I wanted to pose to you, is when should clients who do have a plan, who do have a will or do have a revocable trust, when, what events in life should they be starting to then think about, well, maybe I do need to go that irrevocable Medicaid trust route?
That's a good question. I usually say around retirement age, you know, but that's, you know, 66, 67.
Well,
but
it might be in the 70s now. There's a lot of people where you see their mm-hmm. age in the questionnaire and you see mm-hmm. they're still working, which is great, mm-hmm. for, you know, I suppose. But you're thinking like 60s?
I'm thinking in your 60s because, you know, things can happen unexpectedly.
Yeah, we have Joe from Niskayuna on the phone.
So what a pleasant surprise. Hi, Joe. How's it going?
Good morning. How are you?
Good. What's up?
I was curious. There, on the news, there's been some talk about the governor's budget, which proposes some cuts to, I think, Medicaid or Medicare. And it sounded like they were looking to cut into the home health care portion of that. Do you have any knowledge of that, or can you speak to that?
Well, we do have some general knowledge. We've been talking about this for a little while. A little while meaning 3 years. The idea that the state is looking for ways to make it harder for people to qualify for Medicaid, and their thoughts are, well, we want to save a lot of money, and Medicaid costs a lot of money to the county, so let's make it more difficult. And you know, a number of years ago, Jay Marie, they went from 3 years to 5 years on the look back for nursing home Medicaid. They're not talking yet about any changes to that 5 years, Joe, but what they've been talking about is making it more difficult to qualify for home care through a look-back period. That would be about 30 months, 2.5 years. And I think I speak for Jay Marie and Phil and Kim, where we think that's a little short-sighted if they did proceed with that. Other than that change, I'm not aware of any impending changes to Medicaid in terms of our piece, the long-term care piece. Mm-hmm. Jamie, there might be changes to the other Medicaid or to Medicare, which I don't really know much about.
That's true. Yeah.
So I'm sorry I can't fully answer your question on this, but for sure, you know, we've been telling people April 1st, currently there's supposed to be the implementation of a 2.5 year look back period for all our clients needing home care who are going to be submitting community Medicaid applications. So we're telling people get in front of it. Mm-hmm. But if it sounds like you've heard that before, it's because you've heard that before mm-hmm. for the last 3 years, because we've been saying it since October of 2020. Jamie, I think it's still going to get delayed. Phil talked about how mm-hmm. there's nothing's official, but it's out mm-hmm. there that it will be delayed again. So.
No, I've definitely heard it's going to be delayed, you know, back until the end of the year. So,
but Joe, you never know. And we're actually going to turn your call into a kind of a further discussion. Thanks for your call, because mm-hmm. the thing that Jamie and I are going to talk about is timing. Mm-hmm. When do you go from a revocable trust to an irrevocable trust? When do you go from a will to a Medicaid trust? And Jamie, mm-hmm. a lot of the changes that may happen down the road mm-hmm. aren't really that important if you did your plan ahead of time.
Yes, that's right. So you want to have your irrevocable trust done before you need care, right?
Yes.
So how do you know when you're going to need care, right? Who has a crystal ball? Who can look into the future and say, I'm going to be, you know, needing assistance at this point in time?
Yeah, you don't know.
You don't really know. Some people are healthy until into their 80s or 90s.
You may never need a nursing home or home care, and I wish that upon everyone. Right. But mm-hmm. if you do, it's really, really expensive, and it's really complicated, and it's mm-hmm. you know, it's not a light switch where we just flip it. For the home care, you have to apply when the need is small, because mm-hmm. we know the need is only going to increase and we want all that help during that time. If you're sitting there and you have a revocable trust because you wanted to avoid probate, or if you have a really, really good will, mm-hmm. that's fantastic. And we know that upon your death, the right money goes to the right people. We don't have any laughing beneficiaries, right? We're all good.
Mm-hmm. Right.
However, during your life, that's why you do the Medicaid trust. You don't do it for when you pass, right? You could add a revocable trust if that's mm-hmm. all we were worried about. So you were saying before, Jay Marie, that when people get to a certain age, mm-hmm. right, they should start to think about flipping the switch from a will to a Medicaid trust or revocable to Medicaid trust.
That's right.
You know, does the death of a spouse change your timing on things? Does, you know, what else changes your timing?
I mean, any major events, you know, any diagnoses, right? Sometimes, unfortunately, someone gets diagnosed with Alzheimer's early on, right? Yeah. And, you know, you can come in and start the planning, you know, not wait until later on where it may be too late. So, you know, in general, I want people to do this in their 60s, right? Because you set up an irrevocable trust in your 60s, you're going to be good. You know, you may not need that care for another 10 years or 20 years, but now you don't have to worry about it because you set up the trust.
Right? Jamie, absolutely. And, you know, you think about all the different variables out there that could happen in life when there's a diagnosis of Alzheimer's, of Parkinson's, of ALS. Unfortunately, we know what that means. It means that over time, this thing is not going to go away. In fact, it's probably going to get worse or definitely going to get worse. And if you just wait and you wait and you wait until you really need it, you know, we always talk about going to the doctor and, you know, and you're waiting, you know, and waiting and waiting. You're saying, that's not a big deal. I'm not going to go yet. I'll just take some, you know, over-the-counter stuff.
Right.
With long-term care issues, it's long-term care issues by definition. It's only going to get worse and you have to plan ahead of time. That doesn't mean call Jay Marie and say, hey, I saw aging in a place. We're ready just because, you know, you need help 1 hour a week. But maybe you create a trust at that point.
When would you start thinking about that and doing something about it?
Well,
what do you think?
It's a good question. One of the nice clients I met this, yesterday, actually. So her sister and niece were in with her, and she was living. So sister was living in a independent senior living place.
Right, right.
She hated it. Hated it. She wants to go back home.
Oh, okay.
But she wants to go home and not have any help. And so I am the social worker here, the psychiatrist.
You're the bad guy.
Well, look, you know, if your goal is to stay home, that's wonderful. But we need some help. We can't just we can't just stay at home by ourselves. And if you don't want to live in this wonderful, you know, senior living facility that's got this whole community for you, that's cool. But the choices are there or home with help. Home alone is no longer a choice. So for me, there's certain safety issues.
Sure.
And she said, Jamie, she said, well, I'll wear one of those necklaces.
Well, that's one thing you can do, but there are more things you can do.
Well, the life alert stops you from being on the floor for hours. It doesn't stop you from falling.
It doesn't. Right.
Jamie, if you know, if she's 86 years old, if she fell. And God forbid, broke something. What does the next 6 months of her life look like?
It's crazy because she's going to have to go to rehab. You don't know how
doctors,
how you're able to recover when you're 86, right? From a fall or from a broken leg.
Right. You don't recover as fast.
You may not recover as fast. So everything gets turned upside down.
And Jamie, you guess what? Her choices may not be independent senior living or home care with help. Her choice might be nursing home or another nursing home.
That's right.
And if the goal, she's of sound mind. She knows what she wants.
All right.
She happens to be forgetting everything I said 5 minutes later. So we had to repeat things a couple times.
That's why.
And I said, well, what if you keep taking your medicine? And she was sharp. She was like, you know what? I have one of those things Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
She has the pill boxes.
I said, okay. So what do you leave the stove? What if you leave the stove on? And she said,
Yeah, see, that's happened too, but I know some people are so determined, and you've seen this every day, so determined to stay home or go back home and stay.
And
and it's tough.
The greatest thing, though, is they could do it. Jane Marie can get them qualified for community Medicaid. Kim could help get these hours of care to be utilized perfectly for her. And we could save... Jamie Marie could do a pooled income trust to save the income. Like, it's all possible, but they got to play by the rules. It's no longer they're on their own.
I think what you were talking about, the biggest hurdle is agreeing to take the care at home, right? But if you're willing to take the care at home, you can stay there as long as you want.
You can work it out.
And look, home care is not perfect, and mm-hmm. and there are different programs within community mm-hmm. Medicaid though to make it perfect. So, you know, mm-hmm. if your grandparent, mm-hmm. like my grandparent, was old school and mm-hmm. would probably prefer someone who could speak Armenian or yes. Romanian to him, mm-hmm. and not someone who can't and mm-hmm. prefer someone who doesn't have tattoos all over their body, let's say, or piercings. Right. Not that there's okay. anything wrong with that.
No, right.
But you get to pick. There's consumer direct yeah. within the program, right?
That's great.
Because yeah, some people say, I don't want strangers coming into my house. It could be a different person every day. So
Yeah.
So consumer directed, you go to your little, you go to your community and you pick someone.
Jamie, I wish you were in that room with me. She's mm-hmm. such a sweetheart. Mm-hmm. And she said, is it going to be a stranger? Mm-hmm. And we said, well, on the first day, it might be a stranger. Right. But on the mm-hmm. second day, it'll be less of a stranger.
It'll be the same mm-hmm. person.
And the third, right.
And you'll get to know that person.
She may not remember them, which might be an issue. But hopefully that long-term memory will start to kick in for her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But a really valid concern, right?
Sure.
She wants continuity. If she's going to agree to this, mm-hmm. she doesn't want someone in her house.
Mm-hmm.
Or different people every day.
If it beats the alternative, I don't, you know.
I think it's better, but I understand that. And, you know, I like consumer directed because, you know, in your example, you could go, you know, to the church or something or find someone there who speaks Armenian and
absolutely
wants to do that type of care. Right?
It's unbelievable what the programs could provide. Obviously, there's a lot of paperwork with it, a lot of hoops to jump through. That's where, mm-hmm. You know, the attorneys come in. Mm-hmm. You know, the way when we say we could save all your income, it's not just because we said mm-hmm. it.
Right.
You know, we're actually enrolling you in mm-hmm. a pooled income trust to try to save that money. Mm-hmm. It certainly is a lot easier, Jamie, earlier in life when we don't have these ailments and we're good and we're young and vibrant and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But just because there's a diagnosis doesn't mean it's game over.
Mm-hmm.
And just because you need a little bit of help doesn't mean that you can't stay at home. And this lady wants to stay at home. She can.
That's right.
Now, if she came in and said, I want to stay at home and qualify for this program, and she had a revocable trust or just a will,
mm-hmm.
there would need to be a little bit of work you have to do.
There definitely would be some work, but the good news is we can still do it because that Medicaid change we were talking about earlier is not in effect yet. So this lady, if she didn't have an irrevocable trust set up, I could set one up now, and we could apply for Medicaid for her next month. And there's no waiting period.
Right. No 5-year look back period. Mm-hmm. And what makes it more important, you know, one of the exemptions for home care, Jamie, is a home. You could have a home and qualify for home care.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? She may not be able to stay at home down mm-hmm. the road. So if we want to protect that house,
mm-hmm. right,
we will need to, even though it's exempt for home care, we actually mm-hmm. do want to put that into a Medicaid trust to get that 5-year clock ticking.
Because
mm-hmm. believe it or not, she could stay at home for 5 years.
Right.
She could stay home for 10 years
mm-hmm.
if we do it the right way.
Right. You want to protect your home against that future Medicaid lien, which I know we don't have a lot of time to talk about, but I have an estate I'm working with where they did not come to see us. I mean, we didn't do any of their planning. There's a huge Medicaid lien against the house.
Reason 486 to avoid probate.
That's right.
Oh, man.
Worth more than the house, so there's really no hope of saving it unless we could somehow negotiate with the county.
Wow.
So that's kind of sad, you know.
If you just avoid probate, there's lots of benefits, right? Mm-hmm. Less legal fees, but also those liens. It doesn't have to be Medicaid. It could be other creditors,
mm-hmm.
right? The idea is to have an insolvent estate by having beneficiaries or ideally a mm-hmm. trust that helps you avoid probate. I love it, Jamie.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You want to make sure that, you know, nothing goes to that lien. So you want to protect it, I think. Well, have a good weekend, everyone.
Yeah, take care, guys.
Watch the football championships.
February 14th, Wednesday, 10 and 2, if you got nothing going on.
That's right.
Phil and me.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you would like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581 or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.